Yeah. I can see the day is far spent, the night is at hand, and consequently I do not intend to delay honorable members for too long, because at the opening of this debate, when I presented the estimates, they were very generous in permitting me to proceed as long as I did. But there are just a few points that were raised that I think that need clarification. I don't want them to be left in the record without my giving clarification. I just want to say, Madam Speaker, that I've noted that with the advent of some new members in this Honorable House, there's a certain amount of sartorial elegance which I think we ought to take note of. And I draw attention, Madam Speaker, to the elegance of the Honorable Member for Denry North and the Honorable Member for Deerfoot North. Yesterday, he was accused of getting special instructions and assistance from one Ogilvy. I saw this today, that he is really come with one we cannot really place. But perhaps all these times, in a time of levity, you can have a fashion parade among honorable members. Madam, one other comment I'd like to make. When I was driving down to come to the meeting this afternoon, one banner across the road attracted my attention. It was there for some time, but I don't know why I hadn't seen it before. It's a question of constitutional reform. I know that is on the agenda and is people giving thought to it. But when I heard the Honorable Member for Castries talk this morning, I thought there must be some way that to deal with matters like that, because it is a pity that a person like the Honorable Member, his talents, he was so incisive, he was so objective in his presentation. I thought it's a pity that that sort of talent should be lost for 5 years. I'm not inviting him over. I just say that really this system of winner-take-all, etc., perhaps we can look at that in our constitution. The other comment I like to make, Madam Speaker, is the question of what we spoke about bridging the divide and poverty. In my opening, I related to this Honorable House an actual experience I had. When we speak about 5% growth, when you speak about all of this that's happening in some parts of the country, the number of people feel alienated from what is happening. And I gave the example of that as a boy who felt himself alienated while activities in the tourist sector that I had pointed out to, while activities of people coming to visit Sufre, while they were disembarking for their tour in Sufre, he was busy trying, because he felt alienated, trying to do damage. Now I thought he would have taken this aboard. He said, I insulted the people of Sufre. Now really, I expected better from a person who claimed to have been a teacher. Here you are, and he knows of the activity because he gave it a name. He gave it a name in his presentation. Now, I draw attention to this, Madam Sievers, because in what we're trying to do in this budget is to include, make that little boy feel wanted, rather than breaking glass and trying to do damage to people. He should try, and we should take him up. Let this program that the Minister for Social Transformation, let that program include him, so he would be participating in our society rather than trying to destroy our economy. Madam, the Honorable Leader of the Opposition spoke about some of my ad-libbing and wanted to know what was the document that formed the basis of my presentation. The document is the document circulated. The document is dated the Thursday, the 19th of April, 2007. This is the document that's been tabled, and this is the document which will form the basis of the policies that will be needed in support of this budget. Other matters, Madam Speaker. We spent a lot of time, and rightly so, on both sides of this house, about speaking about poverty. Because that is what it is there for. We are here to serve the people, in which the recent survey showed that in some cases 42 of them are poor. So this is what we're there for, to try and alleviate poverty. Now, how do you do it? The number of ways, number of things we are expected to do. Not only doing the physical, which is one of the things, some of the things we should do, but we must always bear in mind the credo that's on the tomb of our Nobel laureate, Sir Arthur Lewis. That's right, at Arthur Lewis Community College. The fundamental cure for poverty is not money, but knowledge. And this is something that the last administration, a lesson they never seemed to learn. Never seemed to learn. Everything was so much money we poured. Banana industry, so many millions. Wasco, so many millions. What are the results? With all these millions being spent, what have we got to show for it? Banana industry in terminal decline. Wasco, everybody in this house in one way or other spoke about the deficiency of Wasco. It is not money in these cases, but knowledge or management. So we have to learn about these things, Madam Speaker. The Honorable Leader of the Opposition again spoke about the question of he's running a tight ship and that he was able to maintain a certain amount of financial probity. Is that true, Madam Speaker? Look at the figures. In the year 1906, 1907, when the Honorable Leader of the Opposition became Prime Minister, 2006, Yes. 206, when the Honorable Leader of the Opposition became Prime Minister, the recurrent budget was $390 million, a round up the figure. $396 million. Recurrent, Madam Speaker. I'm not speaking about the capital. I'm speaking the monies that we have to pay, the ordinary man and woman of this country has to pay in order to maintain the services of this country, to maintain our capital stock, to pay the civil service, to pay the health workers, etc. Things that we have to find every year, the taxpayers of this country paid $396 million. When the Honorable Leader of the Opposition demitted, whether willingly or not, the Ministry of Finance, the recurrent budget had gone up to $700 million, an 81% increase. And yet he comes to this Honorable House and speaks about running a tight ship. This is not running a tight ship. This is more like a runaway train. Now, these are some of the things that he raised, and I wanted to draw attention of honorable members to this. He spoke, he drew attention to one item in the capital estimate of $16 million of sale of property, sale of assets. Now, he asked, demanded that I say what sale of assets. The government owns a lot of assets. From time to time they have their stores, strong lands, etc., etc. But this is not what I'm referring to. The sale of assets I'm referring to is the sale of government interest in the Jealousy Hilton. These shares were sold last year, I believe for five million or five plus million, but we have not been paid. Government has not received payment for these shares. The second one is an agreement for sale for the lands at Margate for the hotel. An agreement for sale for $8 million. The money should have been paid in December. They were not paid in December. We gave them exemptions. Of course, the money should have been paid in December as agreed between the purchaser and the Honorable Leader of the Opposition as Minister of Finance. It was to be paid in December. It was not paid. They made for the application to us for extension, for we gave them to the 31st of March, it has not been paid. They've asked for further extension, and we gave them to the 30th of June this year and told them there'd be no further extension. So these are some of the points that I said I was not going to delay honorable members too long, but some of these points must demand a reply. In order to try and say that I was breaking faith with this Honorable House when I said there was going to be no new taxes, what did they pick on? The question of the payment of $100 for registration fees on vehicles. No, Madam Speaker. Everything you do in life, even political life, there must be a question, why? Why are we seeking to get vehicle owners to register their vehicles? It is to ensure that they are insured. And I myself, Madam Speaker, and I'm sure many of us around the table, have got personal experience of the tragedy caused to many families by persons driving unlicensed and uninsured vehicles on the road. Only 2 years ago, 3 children were killed while waiting for a bus at Miku. 3 children going from school in the same family. Last year, 1 child was killed and a number of them injured going to school when the bus in which they were driving was involved in an accident on the road to the airport. Now, what do we say to these parents? That, well, it's a matter for you all, I'm sorry, etc. You go to their funeral, probably send them a case of beer or a bottle of rum for the week. We are not, this is not acceptable any longer. Let me give you the figures, Madam Speaker. In the last 6 years, there were as many deaths on the road as there were murders. In those years, there were 190 murders, 166 persons were killed on the road. I would give you, Madam, for the years, let me take a particularly bad year. 1999, 2,124 persons were received injuries of some form or another. We have another year, 1998, 2,035, and it goes on. Now what do we do about it? Just shrug our shoulders and say the opposition don't want us to get these people licensed, so go ahead and slaughter people on the road. What are we doing about it, madam? What do we intend to do about it? One of the things the Honourable Minister for Communications and Works pointed out, the sad state of affairs of his equipment, licensing equipment, in his ministry. So we're not just going to say, go and sell your license. We're going to follow up. And if you look at the estimates, madam, you'll see that there's provision for us in the capital estimates. There's provision for equipment to have proper licensing and registration of these vehicles, so that when you pay your license and you get your registration, there's a linkage between the Ministry of Communications and Works, the licensing department, the police department, and the insurance company, and the individuals, so that if there is a problem, that very within days of instant communication, the police or the licensing department can get in touch with the owner of the vehicle. We know, Madam Speaker, there's been evidence that a number of these vehicles on the road either have no license or insurance. In some cases, the license, the documents are forged. Now we have to eliminate this sort of thing. We are in the modern world. If you look at if the registration numbers are correct, we have probably one out of every 3 persons in St. Lucia seem to own a vehicle. Of course, the registration is so bad, because if we now in 50,000 vehicles according to the registration numbers. But when you look at it, with a population of 150,000, it means Well, now the very few of us have a vehicle. Or some of us have three vehicles perhaps. Because the registration records are so bad. This is what we're trying to correct, Madam Speaker. So, as there is no free lunch, you come to the to be registered, you take people's time, it's got to go to the machine, it's got to be checked, etc. Somebody's got to pay for it. We say you pay $100 in order to keep the citizenry of this country safe. Because we cannot commit this slaughter on the road and just shake our hands, close our eyes to it. There's another matter, Madam Speaker, I want to raise, is the question of course, they made song and dance about putting $1.20 more of the 20-pound gas. You work it out, that lasts an average family 2 months. Small for them. An average family seems 2 months. What is it? 2 cents a day? And the government is carrying the rest of it by subsidy? The gasoline is now subsidized now, I think, what, 20 cents a pound? We just work it out. Round up the figure. But in the rest, where we said we cannot afford to subsidize hotels and restaurants, because whatever happens, they are going to pass it on the bill. And having passed it on the bill, they do another thing. They take it out of the income tax as an expense. So we must continue to subsidize it, losing hundreds of thousands of dollars when we need it to finance the various projects and programs that we heard of in this Honorable House today. Somebody's got to pay. There's no free lunch. We cannot subsidize things that are not of necessity. We subsidize medicines, which we removed, and we have not put back, but Honorable Member for Castries East drew our attention that they removed consumption tax on food items, etc. That is where we must put the subsidies, on school books, on medicines, etc. Not on gas cylinders for hotels and restaurants that make the monies and pass that cost on to the consumer. The people at home, they have no consumer to pass it on except themselves. So we kept the 20-pound gas cylinder at that rate and when necessary subsidize it. Another matter, Madam Speaker, that the Honourable Member did make quite a song and dance over is the question of that. Now, we've got to know who is speaking and who was speaking on these matters. Here you are, the Honourable Leader of the Opposition, as Prime Minister and Minister of Finance, goes to the Monetary Council, and where everybody is talking about tax reform. Obviously, it was the whole of the OECS countries talking about tax reform. We must do something about it. So they employ one of the most distinguished economists in the Caribbean, an economist with reputation, universal reputation, Dr. Alistair McIntyre, and put him to work. What did Dr. McIntyre come out with? He said we must reform our tax system. It is important, if we have to meet our obligations to the WTO, that we must reform our tax system. And he said, the way you have too many nuisance taxes, too many little tax here and tax there, reform your tax system. And what did he say? He said that he advised that we should move to a value-added tax or VAT. That's the recommendation he made to the Monetary Council. Our Minister of Finance now leads the opposition. In his presentation under the heading of changing tax policy, indicated that Dr. Alistair McIntyre's report had been submitted to a group of citizens who, when the report is available, it should be released for public scrutiny. They examined that report. The report by the National Economic Council, appointed by the government to advise them in April 2005, advised the government to adopt a broad-based consumption of value-added tax. They agreed with Alistair McIntyre. What explanation the Prime Minister gave for him going all along the way? Who did Kenny go to the Monetary Council and Kenny go to the House in his budget and Tony speak now?
Honourable Prime Minister, you spoke about the Leader of the Opposition.
I'm not speaking about the Leader of the Opposition. I'm speaking about two persons. Here one goes, alright. The Leader of the Opposition, as Minister of Finance, goes to the Monetary Council and agrees to the appointment of a high-powered team to look at taxation in the OECS. That's the Minister of Finance and Prime Minister. He gets the report. Something must be done about it. In his presentation of his budget, he then heads it, changing tax policy environment. That is the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance. The Prime Minister and Minister of Finance in April of last year take that same document and give it to the National Economic Council and ask them to advise. Why seek the advice? There is a purpose. What I said, everything you do is for purpose. I want your advice because I want support, your intellectual support. If I have to present it. Then he comes now, 2 years later, to this Honorable House and say, I never intended to implement it. That is wrong. That is so and so. That is... Why then go through this motion? Who was going through the motion? Which one? And I can't throw names. So, Madam Speaker, the question of that is upon us. Just as the WTO, just as the CSME, and a host of other international events is upon us. It's now how do we soften the blow? What we intend to do is to get people to advise us. And see, they said it did not work so well in Barbados. It did not work so well in this place. Let's see what is the reason. Let us learn from their experience. when we do what is inevitable. Which country hasn't got it? You go to the United States of America. You see a dress hanging in the store. You take it to the cashier. You see it's for $25. You hand the $25 to the cashier, they tell you, no, it's $27.50. What is it called? Sales tax. Sales tax. That is how it is. The honorable leader of the opposition, as Minister of Finance, introduced that in another way. Phone cards. You buy a phone card, it shows you $10, but you pay $11. What is it? Is not the fact? Now let us stop playing games. I agree with I did not compliment the honorable member for Castries East for the very spirited defense of things that were defenseless. But he tried his best. He acknowledged a number of areas where they did not go as he had hoped, but he acknowledged that a number of things were done. Here we are. Let us stop hanging around. The elections are over. The rhetoric is finished. All the promises and all the accusations are out. We now have to face the music. You can accuse us. The honorable leader of the opposition can use the saying, and I will help him, that what the rat says in the roof is not what he says in the trap. So what the honorable leader of the opposition said when he was Prime Minister of Minister of Finance is not what he's saying now when he's leader of the opposition. But what we're doing, we are governing a country, and we need some sort of to show people the example that we do things because we believe in them. They made quite a song and a dance, Madam Speaker, about the programs and the projects that they were going to do. Now, let me just give you a few minutes, because I am accustomed to this. Perhaps my problem is that I have lived too long, both naturally and politically, but still I have a memory. Let us take it in 64 or 65, when we acquired the Conway, where the buildings are, the government buildings, which is to clean up the waterfront and give the city such a modern look. What happened? Where did they go? Who did they go? Who went down to the Conway, as it was then at the time, and tell the people, don't move. Don't move. Stay there. Because they want them to stay there in their poverty to exploit them. So they had this pocket of discontented votes so they can exploit. Don't move. But a lady called Camellia moved and started the exodus. When we built the houses at Sarkozy, let me sold to people council land for $17,000. I could hear the ring of one of the people on the market steps. It's in mud. It's in the swamp. It's going to sink. Look at this now. These people now have a gold mine. We're going to Reverend Chabot. Independence City. What they sell, the matchboxes. Then I move to the bigger ones. I move up to Grocery, a filthy mosquito-infested swamp. One little hotel. People sometimes had to be taken out by ambulance, suffering from mosquito bites. What advice did I follow? If I take the advice, I remember how when I went to explain the project in Rosalie, how I was insulted, how I was attacked, how I was abused, because I told them I was going to drain the swamp. And I was going to do other things in Rosalie. I showed them the plans. Even at the time of dredging, they were there obstructing the dredge on the site, trying to keep it back. Look at it now. The big pride and the honorable leader of the opposition as then Prime Minister can go and reclaim Pigeon Island for the nation. Whoever went to Pigeon Island is. Before them one off, and even more recently, although I paid compliment to the member for Pastries East, I must remind him that when they were trying to get a loan for this 12-inch or 14-inch line to bring the water off the dam to circulate it, to distribute it, when his contribution to debate in the Senate, dam the dam. Now, Bocage, isn't it the dam that's bringing water to Bocage? So if I'd listened to the opposition or listened to the noises, St. Lucia would not have been where it was. The Millennium Highway. What did the Minister for Communications and Works said at the time? Oh, we met the highway, it got near to the garbage dump, that is where it should stay. In the garbage dump, that is where it should remain. Tell me, you'd have had your mental hospital and your other hospitals and all these things, could you have taken a 40-foot container over the mall? Could you have done it? Could there be that linkage? And I'm talking about the further linkage between Castries and the airport. Could that the Heineken beer that's in the airport, that I deliberately put there in order to start the industrialization of the airport, deliberately put it in the airport, although the market for beer was in Castries. I put the Heineken beer factory there to give the industrialization of the airport a boost. Could the 40-foot container there get over the morning? No. Suppose I'd listen. No, I say, look, let's look at St. Lucia. Let us look at what's possible. Let us look at the problems we have in the uniting of St. Lucia. This is the problem, the physical problem, and see, can you get over it? I don't say it will be done, but let us see if it can be done. If the scientists tell us, or the environmentalists tell us, we should not interfere with the borders, so be it. I would not do like what the previous government did when they were told by geotechnic report that where they put the mental hospital and where they proposed to put the general hospital, the soil is unstable. The report said it is unstable, yet they persist in putting it there. Now for walls, retaining walls alone, will cost us $6 million. $6 million. Other things where politics politics took precedence over common sense or over technical reports. This is one of them. The other one is trying to put a football stadium on what was a riverbed. And because we draw attention to that, big noise. They break down Union Station to say they're putting a football stadium when the geotechnic report says it cannot be done there without substantial cost. The engineers tell you you can't build a four-lane highway because there's no room. We insist on doing it. So when we could have done something, solve a problem for between $5 and the most $7 million by putting in a couple of slip lanes between the shock Babineau and at VG, and probably a slip lane by Grand Riviere, Marisol. Total cost of you $7 million. We're now going to put, at the end, it will cost us $40 odd million because politics took precedence over common sense. So, Madam Speaker, there are certain things that I thought to contribute from my own experience. Some of these things don't come from the top of my head. It's because I traveled and read things, I see what's happening in other countries. And when I come back here, I try to give this country the benefit of my experience. And I've gone to other countries and I've seen in Venezuela. I've seen how they did and not solve a number of their problems. Other countries, Canada, Korea, that when they're faced with a problem like this, once the geotechnical report is good, with the equipment and technologies that are available, you take the shortcut. I ask that the technical people, the possibility of this, be examined. So, Madam Speaker, as I promised, I hope I've dealt with the matters that have been raised, and I want to thank honorable members for their contribution, because let us be generous, Madam Speaker, in the contribution of some of the honorable members, there's some things that we can adapt. All the knowledge, not because we've been voted into government, that all of a sudden we have all the wisdom of St. Lucia. All the wisdom of St. Lucia is not on this side. Some of it is on the other side. But most of it is in the outside, in the outside community. We've got to learn if the ideas are good, not because it comes from your political opponent. You must just throw it away. I'm glad, again, let me pay a compliment to the member for Castries East, because he opened up and said, you must build in what you found. That is true. I've been hearing the mantra from 1997. 30 years they did nothing. 30 years they did nothing. Some of them, why are they saying the 30 years they do nothing? They're enjoying the same things. They're going to the offices as ministers that we built for 30 years. Now let us be generous and honest to each other. So, Madam, I want to be honest to this Honorable House, and I want to thank all honorable members for their support. I want to thank the ministers who, during these last 4 months, have stood with me during these very long hours. I want to thank the officials in every ministry, because we could not have come that far in this short time. In all the muddle, in all the problems, we could not have come that far and presented this budget in the form that you presented this if we did not have loyal support, loyal civil servants. And I want to take it to thank those officers in the Ministry of Finance and the Ministry of development that helped us work so hard to get this document together and to present to this Honorable House. Let me give them the assurance, and let me give the people of St. Lucia and this Honorable House the assurance that we are going to work as hard as possible to implement this budget, to see that when we come back here, we would not be preaching about this level of poverty, all the time, level of poverty, that this budget will help us to reduce the level of unemployment, the level of poverty, which we all seem so dedicated to relieve. Thank you very much.